Okay, the last time that we met, we spoke about the what was going on in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, and especially in Alexandria, where there was a city that Alexander developed. It was a new city that he developed, and he brought together in the city people from different cultures. That was part of his plan. To bring everybody together, make everybody happy, make everybody into one. And by doing this, he hoped to be able to remain the conqueror of the world. Alexandria was a city, a new city named after Alexander. And into that city, he brought Greeks, he brought Egyptians, of course, were there already. But the culture from the Middle East and the Far East. And also he brought there Eden. And this all was brought together in this situation. And like we explained, therefore the living in Alexandria really was a very, very difficult thing for an Erlich and for Meid, because of the fact, because of the Greek influence and because of the Egyptian influence. And also we spoke at length about the fact that the people that were living in Mitzrayim at that time, the Eden that were living in Mitzrayim at that time, who were trying to, in their minds, so to say, to put together the Greek philosophers together with the Torah, Rachmana Litzlan. So they went to explain things in the Torah in a way that was acceptable using Greek philosophy, Rachmana Litzlan. And not only did they fedrei what was going on in the Torah, but also they use it as a method of not having to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Maisius. They said what was going on in the Torah was only philosophical concepts and so forth and so on. We won't go into it at length, but it was the beginning, I guess, what you would say, what we would know today as being a Fraiid. I guess that's what we would call them. Yeah, a non-religious Jew. The difference being that today a non-religious Jew is a person who either Chalila denies the Torah or is not a serious person. Here we have people that went away from the Derech HaTorah, but they went away from the Derech HaTorah with a whole mahalach, with a whole philosophy, as if to say that this is Chalila the way that it was supposed to be. And on top of it all, you have the immorality that comes in through the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and the Kishuv and so forth and so on. So Alexandria and Egypt in general was not a good place to be. We also discussed the translation of the Torah into the Greek language. And this, we mentioned, was also a down point in our history. Although the Eden in Mitzrayim, they celebrated the day, came out to be in Tevis, Ches B'Tevis, and the people living in Mitzrayim celebrated that day. For them it was a great Yontif, because they said now the Egyptians would all appreciate the great Torah that we have, because they'll be able to read it also. And they also saw that in the future they realized that their youth would not be able to read the Torah, so now at least they'll be able to read it in Greek. These ancient works, so to say, would remain amongst the Jewish people in Egypt, so that made them happy. Well, at the same time, the Chacham that were living in Eretz Yisrael, they saw this as being the beginning of the Churban. And therefore, Ches B'Tevis is tagged on to Asara B'Tevis. When we fast the Tainus of Asara B'Tevis, so one of the reasons is because of the fact that the Torah was translated into Greek. If Asara B'Tevis is the beginning of the Churban, so the translation, the Chachamim saw that the translation of the Torah into Greek is the beginning of the Churban. Because that was the time that was the opportunity, so to say, for the Torah, Rachman al-Islam, to be fadreit and to be put into an oifen, to make it so that people would be found a method and a means to be able to go away from keeping Torah mitzvahs. In the future, we're going to learn that there were other terrible things that came out of the fact that the Torah was translated into Greek, but for right now, we'll leave it with this. At the same time, and before we continue, we should point out that the fact that the Torah was translated into Greek had its benefit. And the benefit was, although I doubt if the benefit was worth it, but it had its benefit. And the benefit was that now the Torah was in the hands of the Goyim also. And in the future we're going to have situations where the Goyim are going to accuse us of changing things in the Torah, Rachmana Litzlan, in order to take away credit from them and to keep the credit, so to say, for ourselves. And we're talking about different things that took place when Christianity started, and more than that, things that took place when Islam started. Just to give you a simple idea of what this was all about, it is the tradition amongst the Muslims that Akedas Yitzchak was not Akedas Yitzchak, but was Akedas Yishmael. And till today, they have a whole big holiday that they celebrate to commemorate Akedas Yishmael. And they said, but in the Torah it says Akedas Yitzchak. So how could it be Akedas Yishmael? So they said that the Eden went, and we were Messiah, for what it says in the Torah. That's what they said. So besides the many, many different questions that are asked on this, but the things that said afterwards in the Torah, but first of all, the fact, as you mentioned, that the Sifrei Torah were spread out throughout the Yishuv, wherever they were Eden, it makes it so that it's impossible. You can't have people going all around the world and being Messiah every single Sefer Torah. And if they would be, so then the Balkeira that would get up, all of a sudden he'd realize, hey, this is not, you know, like every little child knows the Kedus Yitzchak. All of a sudden, one year he comes home, and the Mora zooked him that last year was Akedus Yishmael, all of a sudden it's Akedus Yitzchak. I mean, somebody should make a tumult what's going on. But besides that, just in a purely simple way, the Torah was out of our hands. The Torah was in the hands of the Greeks. If we would want to be Messiah, Rachman Lassan, Chalila, the Torah, well, the Torah that we have is in our hands, but the Torah was already translated by the Greeks and was in the Greeks' hands. And from there was translated into other languages. So the Torah wasn't even in our possession anymore. So this benefit, it did come out from the fact that the Torah was translated into Greek, that it became very, very obvious to everybody that this is the Torah that we have. This is the Torah. And from this point on, and we're talking about a little bit towards the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, that the Torah that we have, this is the exact same Torah that we had in the beginning of the Tkufas Bayesheni, which all could see. We know this because that's our Messiah. And we know amongst ourselves, Ois Ba'ois, every single Sefer Torah is the same. But now even the Goyim see this. It becomes very, very clear, even to the Goyim who can't read the Torah, that the Torah that we have is the Torah that was Masalanu Behar Sinai. And if anybody wants to come with a taina that we will mizayev something in the Torah, it's obvious to a serious and thinking person that such a claim is ridiculous. We also mentioned that not only did this have an effect on the Eden that were living in Alexandria and in Egypt, but because we were Eretz Yisrael was also under the same rulers, so the people from Mitzrayim were constantly going back to Eretz Yisrael, traveling back and forth. So little by little, through the Yishuv that was found in Mitzrayim, the philosophy of the Greeks and these Yidden Nebuch that went away from Torah and became Misyavnim, they traveled to Eretz Yisrael. And they brought these dais that they picked up in Mitzrayim, they brought them into Eretz Yisrael. Nicer to that was the fact that just like there were cities that were introduced into places like Egypt and other places, which were Greek cities, At the same time, in Eretz Yisrael, were also introduced new cities, Greek cities, cities that were settled by Greek people, cities that followed in the tradition of the Greeks. So now we have, coming into Eretz Yisrael, we have Eden, Nebuch, that were avek from the Derech HaYosher, and cities that sprung up because of these Eden that came from Mitzrayim, and because of the Greeks that settled in Eretz Yisrael. So there developed in Eretz Yisrael such Greek cities also. So we now have the influence of the Yevonim and the Misyavnim in Eretz Yisrael. This was one of the things that was taking place in Eretz Yisrael. And now we're going to learn about other different issues that took place in Eretz Yisrael. And this issue had to do with Mitzrayim also. We have a Gemara in Menachos, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, HaKohanim Shem Shimshu Veis Chonyoi Lo Yishamshu B'Migdash Shav Yerushalayim. The Kohanim that were Mishamish, that served in the house of Chonyoi, so they could not serve in the Beis HaMikdash that's found in Yerushalayim. Ve'ein tzorach loymal edover acher. And for sure, if you had a Kohen that served for an Avodah Zarah. And it's mashma from the Mishnah that Beis Chonyoi is not Avodah Zarah, it's something less than Avodah Zarah. And therefore the Mishnah says, Ve'ein tzorach loymal edover acher. However, if a person served in the Beis Chonyoi, so then he couldn't serve. There was something wrong with Beis Chonyoi, and therefore he couldn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. What is Beis Chonyoi? What is this place in Mitzrayim which was called Beis Chonyoi? Now this is the sheet that I gave you, the Gemara Menachos, Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis. And the Gemara, first, in the beginning of the wide lines, the Gemara talks about what we had discussed before, that about the Misa of Shimon HaTzadik. And Shimon HaTzadik, before he died, he said that he knew that he's going away from the world because he saw a Malach that was dressed in black who went with him into the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim but didn't leave. And then the Gemara says, Bishas Ptirasai. Okay, so you have your underlined on the side, the middle of the Amid, Bishas Ptirasai, Amalehem Chonyoi b'ni Yishamesh Tachti. He said that he wanted that Chonyoi, his son, should serve underneath him. Shimon HaTzadik had two sons. One's name was Chonyoi, and one's name was Shammai. And he said that he wanted that Chonyoi should serve as a Kohen Gadol in his place. The Gemara says, Niskana by Shammai Ochiv. Shammai, his brother, was jealous of him, Shahoya Gadol Menu Shtei Shanim U'Machza, because he was the older brother. The Shammai was the older brother, 2.5 years older of Chonyoi, so therefore he was jealous. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. Now, there are two shittas in the Gemara of exactly what took place. The first shita in the Gemara is the shita of Rav Meir that we're learning now, and the Gemara says, "Boy the emlach seder avoda," that this Shammai wanted to make it so that Chonyoi should have tzaris. Chonyoi was the brother that was chosen to be Kohen Gadol. The Shammai wanted to do him in, so to say. So what did he do? He told him that he's going to teach him the seder of the avoda, how to act by the avoda. Tosfos explains that, of course, the regular Avodah, this Chonyoi knew, but the inauguration, how do you inaugurate a Kohen Gadol? So Chonyoi didn't know that, and Shammai said, I know this. Hilbishai, and the Gemara says, he put him on, and these are types of begodim, that comes out to be women's begodim, not Big Day Kohen Gadol, but he put him on women's begodim. And after he put him on women's begodim, he walked aside, and there you have Chonyoi, who's standing there, prepared to do the Avodah, wearing these women's begodim. And Amalehem la'ochiv ha'kehanim. So then this Shammai said to his brothers, the kehanim, Ru'u ma noda zeh v'kiyim la'ahavosai. You know why he's doing this? Because he told his wife that in order to show respect to his wife, he's going to wear her clothes when he goes to do the avodah. So look at this, he's bringing a bizayin onto the Beis HaMikdash, wearing his wife's clothing. So in other words, this Shammai set him up. He set up this chanya for disaster. Because the Gemara says that he told him that he's wearing his, he promised his wife that he's going to wear her clothes when he becomes the Kohen Gadol. Bifshu achiv akayanim lahargoy. So the other kayanim, they wanted to kill him for such a bizayin. Rotz bifneim v'rotzu acharav. So they ran after him, and holach la'achsandria shel Mitzrayim. He ran to Achsandria shel Mitzrayim, ubona shel Mizbeach, v'hela olav l'shum avaydis kechovim. He went to Alexandria, he ran away. He went to Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, and he put over there up a Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah. So, look what happened over here. He was the one that was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol somehow. And according to this Ramei Yeshita, he ran away to Mitzrayim, and he became a Kohen for the Avodah Zarah. The Kishashomu Chachom B'Dova Amru Ma'azesh Lo Yorad Lo Kacha Yorid Lo Alachas Kama V'Kama. He started off good, so to say. This Chonye started off good, and look what happened to him. So that's the Musar, so to say, that the Gemara takes on this. So this Chonye, according to the Sheet and the Gemara, went to Mitzrayim and set up a house for Avodah Zarah. This is Divrei Rav Meir. Amonai Rabbi Yehuda said, Loi kach hava meis. No, that's not the way the story happened. But the story was as follows. Shimon HaTzadik Taka wanted Chonye to be the Kohen Gadol. And you have to hear this Amoridika Meisa that gives us a tremendous insight into Koiches HaNefesh of a person. You see what a person can make out of himself. So the Gemara says that what happened was that Chonyei, Shimon HaTzadik, appointed Chonyei to be the Kohen Gadol, but Chonyei didn't want to accept it. And the reason that he didn't want to accept it, Shoyeshimi, Achiv Godem Enishtei Shonu Machza, because out of respect for his older brother, he didn't want to accept the position. But then the Gemara says, but he still was jealous. You hear what's going on by a person? He didn't want to take the position away from his person, from his older brother, because it's his older brother. But what he did want to do was set his older brother up for disaster, and then he could take it away from him with the claim that he deserves it and his older brother doesn't deserve it. It's almost like if the world is going to assume that Shimi deserves the position also, so then it was proper for Chonyei to prava Anivis, right? The gaiva that's found in Anivis. So it was proper for Chonyei to prava Anivis because Shimi is the older brother, so he's the Anav, and he's proud that he goes around with the ganze gaiva of the Anivis that he has. So what does he do? He sets him up for disaster. And after he sets him up for disaster, so then he'll be able to to take away the position. So the Gemara says that Chonyei told to Shimi, so we have it backwards, the story. Chonyei told to Shimi that I'm going to teach you how to do the Avodah, and now we have the same story. Shimi put on the clothes of a woman, and Chonyei now said that the reason that he's dressed like this is out of showing the Ava to his wife, and the Kohanim got angry, and they were ready to do something to Shimi, but this Shimi was able to stop the Kohanim and said, Chonyei is the one who set me up. So he was able to defend himself. So now the story turns around. The Kohanim investigated, and they realized that Chonyei Taka is the one that set him up for disaster. So they went and they chased after Chonyei to kill him. And this Chonyei ran away, And the Gemara says he ran to the Beis HaMelech until finally he ran L'Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim. So now the end of the story so far is the same, that according to the first version he went to L'Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim, and this version also went to L'Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim. But now here we have another variation. V'hela olav bona shom mizbeach l'shem shamayim. But according to this version, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, the place that he set up in Mitzrayim was a place to bring karbonis l'shem shamayim. So according to Rabbi Meir Shita, Beis Chonyoi was a place where they brought karbonis l'avodah zarah. And according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, it was a place that was set up to bring karbonis l'shem shamayim. And of course, even though the karbanos were brought l'shem shemayim, but like the Rambam says, it's you're not allowed to bring karbanos. There's already an issur of bamos, so you're not allowed to bring karbanos outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Mokim HaBigdash. So avada, it was awesome. Also, it seems that it's not clear. There are different shitas amongst the Rishonim exactly what type of a people, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they brought karbonos l'shem shamayim, what type of a people did he cater to, this Chonyoi? If he catered to Yidden, like the Rambam says, and then it's taka going to be an iser of bringing karbonos l'chutz, there are others that say that he set it up for goyim. It was set up originally for goyim. So he went to set up this place to bring karbonos, and the karbonos l'go should be l'shem shamayim, but the people that it was designated for was basically for goyim. So even if we accept this shita, let's call this the most liberal shita, so then it comes out that this Chonyoi who set up this place, so he did it to be makar of the goyim, okay? To be the makar, to teach the goyim, or to bring the goyim closer to Shem Shamayim, like the Gemara says. And because it was designated taka for, it was designated for the goyim. Although it wasn't the right thing to do, but it was less wrong, so to say. If it was done for Yidden, so then there's an issur of bringing karbanos in the bamba. If it was done l'shem avodah zarah, then it's gevis that it's also l'shem avodah zarah. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos talks about this also, about this whole thing. Now the Gemara fears ice at the end, and the Gemara says that this is a kiyum of the pasuk that we have in Yeshaya, the Novi Yeshaya. It says, "Shneamar vayihi bayoyim ahu yiyam mizbeach l'Hashem b'toich eretz Mitzrayim u'matzeva etzel gevula l'Hashem." So this is the kiyum of the Nevuah in Sefer Yeshaya, that there is going to be in Mitzrayim a Mizbeach LeBeis Hashem that's going to exist in Mitzrayim. Now, Pashtus in the Novi is not saying it over as a credit for Klai, so it's not going to be one of our high points. It's talking about one of the chesreinus, so to say, that's going to come out of the churban, one of the churbanos that's going to come out of the churban, the fact that there's going to be a mizbeach in Mitzrayim. The Rambam brings down, the Rambam of Perush Mishnayos brings down that other rabbi, the when they came to Mitzrayim, this Chonyoi came to Mitzrayim, and he went to the melech, and he wanted to set up this place of bringing karbanos. So the Melech himself said he doesn't want to do anything that's objectionable to the Eden. I guess this has to do, like I mentioned, because they wanted to keep everybody happy. So he didn't want to do anything that the Eden would object to. So he said, the Beis HaMikdash is in Eretz Yisrael. How could you build the Mizbeach over here? So the Chonyo told him, what do you mean? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says that there's supposed to be a Mizbeach in Mitzrayim. He didn't tell him that the pasuk in Yeshaya was there as to say that it's a terrible thing that there's going to be a mizbeach. He said, no, he says that the pasuk in Yeshaya says that that's what's supposed to be. And based on that, they allowed him to build this mizbeach in Mitzrayim. The Rambam also adds that there were a group of people, I guess you'd call them a tribe of people called the Copts. These are Goyim that lived in Egypt, and they are people who somehow became attracted to this Chonyoy and to his Mizbeach that he had in Mitzrayim. And they were impressed with this Chonyoy. Well, I guess it's you have something like this today also. You have even over here in Los Angeles. No, you have people that claim to be versed in Kabbalah and attracting everybody except any Yid that has any seichel. So you have in the Yid Nebuch on seichel and even Goyim. Right. So here you have a Chonyoy who was a renegade. Right. That was a renegade. And he set up this place in Mitzrayim, and it was something that was set up because Ezdach, he was the son of Shimon HaTzadik, so you can imagine the credentials that he came with. But an Erlich Yid wasn't attracted to Edu. He knew that it was wrong. But there were Mitzrayim that were attracted to what he was doing, and so therefore he had an impact on these people that were living in Mitzrayim. So, Abba Yisai, if we're going to talk about the mixture of what there was going on in Alexandria and in that area of Mitzrayim, so now we can add this to the mixture of all of the different people that were running around in Mitzrayim with the different deis and the different shitas. So now you have Beis HaShel Chonyoy. And the truth of the matter is, Beis HaShel Chonyoy lasted for hundreds of years. This place of I don't know how we should call it, this temple, maybe that's the best way to call it, but this temple that was built in Mitzrayim lasted just about around the same time of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. It was all there in the same time, and so obviously it had a very big impact on the people that were living there. There are those who say, and in the history books there are those, and if you look in the Tiferes Yisrael, on the Mishnayos, in Menachos, he says that although this Chonyoy was the one that started it, like the Gemara says, but it really wasn't completed until a few generations later by a grandson whose also name was Chonyoy. So, it's not very, very clear. Different shitas in Rishayim, different shitas that are brought down. Exactly when this temple was in all of its glory, so to say, but without a doubt, this Chonyoy, who was the son of Shimon HaTzadik, so he comes with big credentials, and the biggest credential he probably had was that he really, according to both shitas, was the one that Shimon HaTzadik designated to become the Kohen Gadol between his two children. So obviously he must have had his own personal credentials, otherwise Shimon HaTzadik would not have chosen him. Yet because of jealousy, because of COVID, so he went away from the Derech HaYoshar and he created this terrible binyan that we have in Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Yisrael, remember this name Chonyoy, because we're going to come back to him in a very, very short time. We're going to bring his name back into our history, and we're going to see about another terrible thing that he did, an influence that he had in Klal Yisrael. We know that even in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, under the first one of the kings of Mitzrayim, one of the things that they did was they wanted... The Eden, as we mentioned, were struggling when they first came to build the second base of Migdash. They were struggling to settle themselves in Eretz Yisrael. And at that time, Ptolemy the first of the Ptolemies, you know, we deal with two or three of them, even more, came into Eretz Yisrael, and he said that he wanted to bring Karbonis on the Mizbeach. And he would arrive on Shabbos, and he would like to bring Karbonis on the Mizbeach. The Eden suspected nothing of him, allowed him to come into Eretz Yisrael. And once he came in into Eretz Yisrael, into the Mokim HaMikdash, he took over 100,000 Eden as captives and brought them back into Mitzrayim. So he did this because he wanted to weaken the Yishuv that was found in Eretz Yisrael. He also wanted to enrich Mitzrayim with these Eden. But you can imagine the terrible blow that this had for the community, for this fledgling community, so to say, that there was in Eretz Yisrael, with over 100,000 people that were taken away and brought to Mitzrayim. Ultimately, when the Yishuv developed in Alexandria, a lot of these people landed up becoming a chelik of that Yishuv that was found in Mitzrayim. Once again, as you mentioned before, one of the problems that we have with the Misyavnim developing in Mitzrayim is the fact that after they returned to Eretz Yisrael, they also brought their dais into Eretz Yisrael. And as a result, there were many different Greek temples, gymnasiums that were built in Eretz Yisrael under the Greeks. And there were Yidden living in the Yiddish neighborhood. We call it Yerushalayim, Chreis, I don't know, the Bnei Braks of those times. But there were cities that were, you know, where only the Erlich Yidden lived. But in order to do business, from time to time, they would find it necessary to go into those Greek cities and to do business. Under the guise, of course, that they're only going there to do business. But once they went there, and they met up with the Greeks, and Nebuch with the Misyavnim, with the Eden that followed in their path. So when they went back to Yerushalayim, and they went back to the cities that they came from, so a lot of the influence that came from those places came back with them into these Yiddish places also. One of the things that the Greeks were very big into was competitive sports. This had to do, once again, godless Adam. They went around showing the glory of what a person can make out of himself. The Olympics that we have even today, so it originated under the Greeks. This is where it comes from. In order to show, you know, the godless of the gashmis of a person, of what a person could make out of himself. But once again, this all had an influence, b'chlal, of Eden living even in different areas of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara tells over the next blow that took place in Eretz Yisrael, which helped to bring down, Rachmanu Litzlan, the influence, or to bring down the koyach of the Chachamim, the koyach of the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. We learn in the Sech Tesovis, Shimon HaTzadik was followed by Antignus Yisoychai. Antignus Yisoychai, so he taught, Altiyu Kavodim Mishamsh Meserav Manasl Kabul Pras, that when you do mitzvahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't do the mitzvahs because you're going to get a reward for the mitzvah, but you should do the mitzvah even if you're not going to get a reward. Do it L'Shem Shamayim. That's what he taught. Now, this Antignus Yisoychai had two Talmidim, Tzadik and Baisus. And they said that what the Rebbe means to say is that we're not going to get a reward in Olam Haba. There is no Olam Haba. And that what he's saying is that what Antignus Yisoychai is telling us is, don't think that when you do a mitzvah you're going to get Schar in Olam Haba. No, because there is no Schar in Olam Haba. Now, the simple way for us to understand this is that it didn't take place b'chayav of Antignus Yisoychai, because if it would, then I would assume, I mean, let's say the mashal, you have bachim go to shir, and the Rebbe says a shir, and by the time the shir is over, so the Rebbe says that pshat in the Taisus is that Taisus holds that the din is that you're chayav, and you're going to walk out of the shir and you're going to say, no, that's not what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said that the din is the halach is that you're potter, right? So what are you going to do? bring this bracha to the Rebbe and let the Rebbe straighten him out. Right? That would be the simple thing to do. You're not gonna. So if these two Talmidim of Antignus Yisoychai would say that the Rebbe Nishgemeint, that you're supposed to do things L'shem Shamayim, even if you wouldn't get a reward, you should do it anyway, but the Rebbe meant to say is that there is no reward, Rahman al-Hassan, so the first thing you do is you get a hold of these two Talmidim and you bring them to Antignus Yisoychai and the Rebbe should straighten them out. No? So it would seem, the way to understand this is that this took place, maybe it was brewing, so to say, undercover, Bechayev of Antignus Yisoychai, but it first turned into a movement later on, after the life of Antignus Yisoychai, and there were different yeshivas that sort of branched off from Antignus Yisoychai. And one was under the auspices of Tzadik, one was under the auspices of Vices, and we're talking about years later, where they developed this philosophy, and they attached this philosophy on to Antignus Yisoychai. You know, you have this even today. There are people that have krumadeus, so when they look at him, they say, Hastach krumadeus, they say, no, he's a dosis pshat nyena Rambam, you know what I mean, Rachmolosan, they're going to tag it on to a Rambam someplace, and the Nebuchadnezzar Rambam is Nishdor. Yeah, no, so it's not like, we can go and ask the Rambam over. And even though the Pshat doesn't make sense in the Rambam, Abayah Haltas does his Pshat. Yeah, so it was a Pshazah sort of situation where they were able, at least for themselves, they were able to tag on to Antignus Yisoychai this Pshat in the Kiyam of Mitzvahs. That there is not going to be any reward for the mitzvahs. Now, we have to understand that what we're hearing over here is, as we discussed many times, this is the influence that comes from the Greeks. Again, the Greeks denied the existence of the Ruchniistic world. So here we're sensing the influence that comes from the Greeks, right? This is it. That they're denying, in other words, that there's such a zach as Olam Haba. At the same time, the Tztukim and the Baisusim, as they came to be known, denied the existence of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that's how we spent so much time before explaining that it's impossible for a person to deny the fact that there is such a thing as Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah itself is Machayev, that there has to be Torah Sheba'al Peh. But they got up and they denied that there was such a thing as Torah Sheba'al Peh. And by doing this, they also denied that there was a koyach in the Chachamim. Torah Sheba'al Peh is transmitted to us through the Chachamim, and therefore the Chachamim automatically, as we explained last time, they become the ones who carry on the Mesorah. They are automatically the leaders of Klal Yisrael. They also have the koyach to make takonis also. So they said, no, there is no such thing. There's no such thing as Chachamim, of the Koyach of the Chachamim, not to explain the Torah with Torah Sheba'al Peh, and not to make Takonis. No, it's Nishdo Azazach. And they denied, and again, you could hear over here the Greeks talking in the background. They denied the fact that you had Nevi'im. They denied the fact that there's such a thing as Ruach HaKodesh. More or less, the Rambam, it's brought down in different form that they would that they became pashut shvach in their attachment to Torah Min HaShamayim. They denied the inyan of Hashgacha Pratius. They denied the inyan of Chavivus Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael has a very, very special position in the world. So all of this they denied, and they denied it under the guise that all of this is what Antignus Yisoychai meant, the Great Rebbe Antignus Yisoychai meant. So once again, they found a way to whitewash their krumkeit, their going away from the Derech HaTorah. They found a way of doing this where, Aleph, it shouldn't bother their conscience, because they convinced themselves somehow that das is Antignus Yisoychai, it was gemeint. And they did this also in order that they shouldn't have to go through the criticism of the other Yidden that were living in Eretz Yisrael. It's not the pshat is that they don't hold from the Torah. No, you hold from the Torah. No, does you have an under the Torah? I have a different Torah altogether. So they did it also in order not to have to suffer the criticism of the other Yidden that were living in Eretz Yisrael, befrat the Chachomim that were in Eretz Yisrael, or the Chachom that were found throughout the world, because they said that there is no special Kayach that's found by the Chachom. So this is, again, another tragedy, so to say, that took place in Eretz Yisrael at that time, the coming of the Stukim and the Baisus. And now we're going to learn about perhaps the biggest tragedy that took place in Eretz Yisrael at that time. And picture this: in Eretz Yisrael now we have people influenced by the Yevonim. Can't forget the Kusim that are there. We have the Yevonim that are there, the Greeks that are there, the Misyavnim that are there, the people influenced by the Greeks that are in Eretz Yisrael. Now we have the Stukim and the Baisusim who are also found in Eretz Yisrael. And we come on to another story. It would seem that this Chanyoy who built this brought back to Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim brought him back to Eretz Yisrael, because after the Ptir of Shimon HaTzadik, Shimon HaTzadik's brother became the Kohen Gadol, and when he died, so they brought Chanyoy from Mitzrayim back into Eretz Yisrael. Now it's a little bit of a mystery why they bring him back. I mean, according to Rameya, he set up a Beis Avodah Zorah, to bring him back to Eretz Yisrael is the Chapela. Signs it was a different Chanyoy. It's hard to get down to it. Maybe he was a grandson. It's hard to get down to the ends. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that it wasn't the Beis Avodah Zorah, but still, they brought Shrutei Chutz, and they brought on the Bamais, they brought the Karbonis on Bamais. Christ, he definitely, according to the best of the Shitas, so he was quite a Shayetz, this Chanyoy. So what did they bring him back to Eretz Yisrael for? So simply the answer is that the position of Kohen Gadol at that time was watered down a bit by the position of a person like Antignus Yisaychi. And what I mean is as follows. Shimon HaTzadik combined both milas. He was the Kohen Gadol and he was the Gadol Ador. It's not necessarily so that the Kohen Gadol has to be the Gadol Ador. In the case of Shimon HaTzadik, that's the way it was. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol and also the Gadol Ador. When Shimon HaTzadik was Niftah, so the Mishnah Novus tells us that his position was taken over by Antignus Yisaychai. So the one that carried over the Messiah was, the Gadol Ador was Antignus Yisaychai. The position of Kohen Gadol was a position that was the minister that was in Eretz Yisrael, that was the contact with the Goyim. Because as we mentioned, when Alexander came to Eretz Yisrael, so the one he met was Shimon HaTzadik. He understood, and the Greeks afterwards always understood, that the Kohen Gadol, he was the representative of the Jews. He was like now the king. We didn't have a king in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So who was the ruler over the Eden? Who was the one that was in charge? I guess that's the best language to use. Who was the one that's in charge of the Jewish nation? Shimon HaTzadik was in charge. They understood he was in charge because he was the Kohen Gadol. So now the one that's in charge and the one that the Goyim dealt with was the one who was the Kohen Gadol. And in some of the historical Sforim it says that these people didn't even do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's clear. Those who learned the Mishnayos know that there were many Kohanim Gedolim that served at the same time. You had Kohanim Gedolim that went to war, Kohanim Gedolim that were serving the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, when we talk about the Kohen Gadol, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was the person that went into the Kodesh Kodoshim on Yom Kippur. He was the one who brought the Ketores. We're talking about the Kohen Gadol as the person that represented the Jewish people. So if that's the case, then Chonyoi, even though he's not the man to go into Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur to bring a kapara for Klal Yisrael, but he was very popular by the rulers in Mitzrayim. Right? He went to Mitzrayim and he was given land by the rulers of Mitzrayim, and he set up this temple in Mitzrayim. So now they asked him to come back into Eretz Yisrael, or for all we know, maybe he's the one who engineered it so that he should automatically come back to Eretz Yisrael because of the influence that he had with the Malchus, that we can't know. But he came back into Eretz Yisrael, and the position that he had was the leader of the people, especially, or maybe I should say, only klape chutz, klape the goyim. The leader of the people, klape pnim, who did the people in Eretz Yisrael look to? Who did the Erlich Yid in Eretz Yisrael look to for leadership? At Tignesh Yisaychai, he was the Gadol Ador. But who did the people, klape chutz, who did they look for? The emperors, who did they look for as being the representative of the Jewish people? So that was the Kohen Gadol, and that was a position that was given over to this Chonyoi. But this Chonyoi, as we see, is already a troublemaker. And one of the jobs of the Kohen Gadol was to collect taxes and to deliver the taxes to the emperor, to deliver the taxes to the emperor in Egypt. This Chonyoi, for whatever the reason, didn't do his job. The delegation came from the king, the Melech Mitzrayim, from Ptolemy, and said to him, you have to collect your taxes. And for whatever the reason, the Melech wasn't gairis him, and therefore he didn't go about his business of collecting the taxes. Now this is a major, major crime, because taxes, you got to pay taxes, right? Everybody knows this. Taxes is the one thing you have to pay, and if the Eden would not pay their taxes, so then that would automatically call out the Melech Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe if we want to be Melamed Zchus, although I don't know why we need to be Melamed Zchus, but if we want to be Melamed Zchus, maybe it's because it wasn't that long afterwards, after the fact that these over 100,000 Shvuyim were taken out of Eretz Yisrael. The country was torn apart and was at an all-time low, so to say, after these people were taken out. Maybe he had Rachmanis on the people, but it was a foolish Rachmanis. Even if that's what it was a foolish Rachmanis, because as a result of this action, the Melech Mitzrayim is going to come and he's going to take revenge. He's going to extract the money. The Kohen Gadol had a nephew. His name was Yosef ben Tuvia. This Yosef ben Tuvia told over to the Kohen Gadol, he said, this is a terrible thing, you're not paying the taxes, you're going to get Melech Mitzrayim angry. The Melech Mitzrayim was already gathering together his troops to bring him up into Eretz Yisrael. So this Yosef ben Tuvia told the Kohen Gadol, it's a big mistake, leave it up to me, I'll straighten things out. He went into Mitzrayim and he went over to the king. And according to some accounts, what he did was, is he took out of his own pocket the money that was owed for taxes to the king, and he said, don't worry, Rosheis, you're not getting your taxes, here are your taxes. And while he was there, he explained to the king that he's the one, the Kohen Gadol, he's not doing his job, but don't worry, I'll see to it that the taxes have to be paid. Came to the king and he came to the emperor and told him that he's going to see paid, and Kohen Gadol's not doing his job. So the emperor was very, very happy with this Yosef ben Tuvia. Came back the next year, and this Yosef ben Tuvia came back again to the emperor Mitzrayim, and he told the emperor Mitzrayim, he says, listen, once again, I'm going to see to it that you should get your taxes, and I would like to tell you that you're collecting so much and so much taxes, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to collect twice as much from the Jewish people. They have plenty of money, so you should be able to collect twice as much from the Jewish people. No, twice as much is twice as good as what he used to get originally. The Melech said, if you're able to do this, by all means, please. And the Melech, even gave him a band of soldiers to go together with him to help him to collect these taxes. So Yosef ben Tuvia, he went back into Eretz Yisrael, and the first city that he came to was the city of Ashkelon, because Ashkelon was on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And he told the people that they have to pay more taxes, twice as much as they did the last year. Well, they didn't want to. He took the soldiers that he had from the king. He took out the most choshev of the leaders of the city of Ashkelon, and he hung them up in the middle of the square of the city in order to destroy the leadership of the city, and at the same time in order to show them who's boss, and extracted the money from the city of Ashkelon. And then from there he went from city to city, draining the people of their money, bringing the money back to the emperor in Mitzrayim, and said to the emperor, "Oh, look what I did for you. Look how much money I brought for you." And the emperor was thrilled with him. And he said to this Yosef ben Tuvia, "You know, I like you. You know, you're a man of my own heart. You like money and you're into this." Invited him into his palace, so to say. And this Yosef ben Tuvia, together with his cohorts, together with the people that he enlisted to help him to gather the taxes, together with all of these other hoodlums that he used in order to collect to extract the taxes from the Eden living in Eretz Yisrael, they became Yotzei v'Nichnas by the Melech of Mitzrayim. Now really they were Kehanim, because this was the nephew of the Kohen Gadol. They were Kehanim. They became from the Yotzei v'Nichnas of the Melech Mitzrayim. So let's go back. Melech Mitzrayim, we're talking about a person that was seeped into Chochmas Yavon. We're talking about a person, we're talking about all of the Gashmias that's found in Greece, all the Gashmias that's found in Egypt, and all of the entire lack of Kedusha and Ruchnias, everything in the opposite that was going on in Mitzrayim. And now this Yosef ben Tuvia and his cohorts became people that were close to the Malchus, and they were the ones who now had a tremendous koyach in Eretz Yisrael, because they became the tax collectors in Eretz Yisrael. So, added on to the tzoris that we mentioned before, were the tzoris of the muhsin, these tax collectors. There's one more issue that I want to quickly mention, and that is, they started now a group of people, and started, it wasn't an organization, but they did brand them, and they're found around even today in a certain area. They're called Amoritz. Amoratzim. Yeah, there's such a thing as an Amoritz. Now, how do we have an Amoritz? Do we still have time? How do we have an Amoritz? The Gemara says that in the beginning, every father used to learn with his son. There was no such thing as yeshivas. Every father used to learn with his son. Well, they realized that this was getting very weak. People came back into Eretz Yisrael. They had to work very hard. There were people that weren't so learned that they're able to learn with their sons. So the Gemara says that they made up that all of the yeshivas should be found in Yerushalayim. As it says in the Pasuk, Mitzian Teitzei Seira, so they should send all the children to Yerushalayim to learn. They saw that also wasn't so successful, because there were people that didn't send their children to Yerushalayim. It was expensive, it was far, perhaps it was even, the roads may have not been so safe, and they weren't willing to take the chance. So the Chachamim went and they set up yeshivas in different cities. Okay, and the Gemara talks about the Gadlus of Yeshua ben Prachya, that they went and they set up a network of yeshivas throughout Eretz Yisrael. But with it all, Lemaisa, there are many different people who fell between the cracks, so to say. And these people were not learned people. They were given the title of an Am Ha'aretz, because they were people that the main thing that they did was is they worked the ground. They were the people that were the farmers that worked the ground. That's why they were called the Amoratzim. Now, these people were not learned people, and if you're not a learned person, you don't have the koyach of the Torah behind you, and you look out into the country, and you see that the people that are the most popular are the people who followed in the derech of the Yevonim, the people where the wealth was, even amongst the Yidden, were the Misyavnin, and once again, they didn't have any learning behind them, they also were drawn into the influence of the Misyavnim. And now we understand a little bit in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah tells us, Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Hey, Yehei Beischa Pasuach L'Ravacha. The Mishnah says that in the time of Yaisi ben Yaiser and Yaisi ben Sroya, so the Mishnah, who were the Talmidim of Amtignish Yisraichai, it says, first of all, Yehi Beischa Beisvad L'Chachomim V'Hevim Misabik Ba'afar Ragleihem. Now, why did they teach this? The Mishnah is saying that these were Limudim that were taught by these Tanoim. Obviously, this is what was needed to be taught at that time. That's why they constantly spoke about this. The Mishnah of Yehi Beischa Beisvad L'Chachomim, everybody knew Yehi Beischa Beisvad, but in their time, this was a message that they constantly had to give over. And the reason for this is because there was a miut in the yeshivas. There were people that were not so involved in learning. And the yeshivas that were closing. And therefore they said, Yehi Beischa Beisvad L'Chachomim, you should make your house so that your houses should be a place where the Chachomim to get together. They wanted to teach the covet for the Talmidei Chachomim. And therefore they taught, V'heve Misabik Pa'afar Ragleihem. And this was a lesson that's Nagei, even to Ramaratzim, teaching them that you have to be Misabik in the Afar Ragleihem Shel Talmidei Chachomim. And another thing was that they were Mezalzel in the Aniyim, because to the Greeks, a person that was a poor person went hand in hand with a person who was an unsuccessful person. Success meant wealth. Anius meant failure automatically. And so forth. So therefore they taught that you have to see to it that you should constantly open up your house in order to feed the Aniyim. And another thing, Altar Basicha Isha. The Yevonim, they were busy being Mar Basicha Isha, Zachin that would bring to immorality. And so therefore, Nebuch, even at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, this is the things that they had to do to remind the people that they shouldn't be Marv, Sicha, and Isha. They also at this time were Geizer, Tuma, and Big the Am Ha'aretz, because they wanted the people to keep away from the Amaratzim, from the influence of the Amaratzim. They were Geizer, Tuma, on Chutzal Ha'aretz, because they didn't want the Yidden to leave Eretz Yisrael, especially to go to Mitzrayim again because of the influence that was coming in from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael. And at this same time, we have again a new low point in Eretz Yisrael. This is the beginning of Machlokes, because we now have the Mishnayos talk about the Zugais who began at Kufa of a Machlokes Binageya to the Indian of Smicha. And we understand that the fact that there was now, at this time, Machloikis started in Klal Yisrael, it was because of a low Madrega that Klal Yisrael was founded. So Rabbi Yisai, Mirza Hashem, will pick up from over here next time.